This is the Big Ugly Podcast. We're big, we're ugly, and we're a podcast. I'm California Cajun. With me, as always, Big Nate. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. Just, you know, another day.
Yeah, I don't...
Offensive lineman. I coach offensive line at Hart High School, like you know, Craig. And so now we're looking into more disappointing line play. And actually some surprising line play as well, but yeah.
As a former offensive lineman, now coaching offensive line, if anyone has any questions about how we do what we do and why we do what we do, you are the man to talk to.
Well, I appreciate that, Craig.
So speaking of offensive lines, I have to bring it up. You're a Chargers fan, and as much as the Saints fans that listen to this show are complaining about our offensive line, we're going to go ahead and throw it out there. The Chargers are averaging less than 3 yards a carry this season. It is dead last in the NFL, and they have not scored a rushing touchdown 3 games in. What's going on with you boys?
Well, it doesn't help that it seems like they're not really even giving Austin Ekeler the ball during the first 3 quarters of the game. And then when they're trying to play pickup, it's let's force feed Austin Ekeler the ball so we can move it. You know, there's so much going on with the Chargers right now. I've been disappointed to say the least. I will say and go into the details of Rashawn Slater rupturing both biceps.
Ooh.
He's going to be out for the season. You know, they put in Storm Norton, and man, I said the last podcast that I want to root for a guy named Storm Norton. No, the hell I don't. I'm tired of rooting, hoping the best for him. And luckily it seems like the team has made a move, and they're going to be putting Salyer in there, the Georgia alumni that was on their championship team, in there at left tackle.
Oh, okay.
This Sunday. So we'll see. You know, he had a couple knocks in the combine and stuff like that for his arm length and
all that dumb stuff that doesn't matter.
Yeah, you know, you hate to hear that that's like the knocks on guys, because some of these guys, you know, you either have it or you don't.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and so. And
we all the Saints fans listening all know all about that. We had a guy named Hendrickson, who was a defensive end. And we called him T-Rex because he had short arms and it hurt his draft capital. Now he's with Cincinnati and he's, you know, pro bowler. And it's like, oh, well, yeah, his arms are too short. I guess he'll never make anything. So it's just it's just another example of nerds with useless stats trying to fill out a spreadsheet instead of watching game film.
Absolutely. I was actually listening to the last podcast you guys had with the BS and Beer Media of your game preview of the Vikings game, and uh-huh. I heard how much you love spreadsheets.
Oh, yes. anyone listening to the show will know I'm all about the analytics and not about actual football.
Yeah, you know what? I for one, think, hey, this guy played championship football. He was on a championship team, and that means a lot to be a starting guy on a championship team. And, you know, I think that, you know, that alone warrants this guy a shot to see what he's got, you know. So I'm excited to see what he's got. And hopefully we can pick up the run game. I know Austin Ekeler is way more capable than that. But like I said, I don't feel like we're getting him the ball in the first 3 quarters. I think that has a lot to do with our run production. So we'll see what happens from there. I'll tell you what, though. This Jags offensive line is completely underrated, though. This Jags offensive line,
averaging about 4.1 yards per carry, 3 rushing touchdowns on the season, at the long of 50. So they're getting guys in space, and you're not going to do that unless your O-line's playing well.
Yeah, they gave up 2 sacks week one, and they haven't let up a sack in the last 2 weeks, and that's going against Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa this last weekend.
Wow. Yeah, they're tied with Kansas City for only 2 allowed in the entire season. Now, the Saints fans on this listening to this, and I can't come back to us because we're a Saints channel, are going to be bristling with that because we've allowed 11 on the year. And yeah, Jacksonville, Kansas City, two set. How much of that is the elusiveness of the quarterback itself, and how much of it is just an offensive line stonewalling people?
You see quarterbacks prolonging plays, and I think even being able to prolong plays like that is a direct effect of having a strong offensive line. You know, I think that the quarterback can only benefit from that. So everything you see the quarterback doing, it's because the big uglies up front. You know, without them, he can't do nothing. We all know that, you know. So
so one of the things that I guess this leads into another topic we have been getting a few requests for is how does a team adjust blitz pickups, and how are you able to protect a quarterback when they're bringing extra guys?
So we've on my high school team, we've actually had some issues picking up blitzes ourselves. So, you know, some of the things that I've been working on with these younger guys is making sure that they stay square to the line. They keep their head up, number one. They're not going to see any blitzes to pick up if they got their head down. You know, and being able to peel off a double team to a delayed blitzer and all that is very key to O-line success and an offense success, you know. So I really believe that just staying square. So I'm not going to lie to you here, Craig. I was listening to the podcast, right? And I was hearing you talk about, you know, that's a coaching adjustment that has to be made too. It, you know, during the games, I'm sitting there watching blitzes. I don't just leave it up to the linemen out there that, you know, some of them are first-year players out there. I don't leave it up to them to tell me, hey, coach, they're blitzing. I'm out there watching myself too and, you know, kind of like seeing the blitz routine and seeing how it goes. So I think it has a lot to do with the offensive line coach of the Saints, really. And, yeah. You know, I think that you have to start there. If things like that are happening that bad and being unaddressed all game long and for multiple weeks now, I think you got to think something about coaching. I've never been a fan of Dennis Allen, even when he went to the Raiders. The first time I thought that, you know, he, you know, you guys were making a mistake keeping him as your head coach, to be honest. And I wouldn't have any faith. Yeah. I wouldn't have any faith in him. He, you know, some guys are meant to be coordinators. Some guys are meant to be head coaches. You know, I think that he's one of those guys that's a better coordinator than a head coach, you know, and I think the staff that you bring on as a head coach shows a lot about, you know, what your plan and your vision is for the team, you know, and the offensive line has to be the biggest part of that vision, you know?
Yeah. And then that's a good note, is that the rest of the staff is largely unchanged. It's a lot. It's basically Sean Payton's staff that Dennis Allen's kind of running. And speaking of that offensive line coach, former head coach Doug Marrone, is the offensive line coach of the Saints. That is one of three former head coaches that have been a part of this staff the last couple of years. So is it a situation where a head coach goes to, you know, gets fired, he's demoted, essentially, he's got another job, as now he's an O-line coach? Is he maybe not passionate about his work? Because, like we talked about initially, there are a few golden rules for blitz pickups that we're going to go over. But at a certain point, it does come down to coaching. You can't, if it keeps happening, and whether it's the quarterback not calling out protections, it's the center not calling it out, if it's not the tackles communicating into the inside that someone else is coming, whatever the situation is, it's not being addressed. The same guys have been coming free for 3 weeks now. And if that's the case, it has to be coaching. It all goes upstream. So let's for everyone who's maybe not as well-versed in offensive line and blitz pickups, I know there's a lot of, well, why don't you just pick up the blitz? So there's layers to it, right? You have five linemen, period. You can keep a running back in, you can chip with the tight end, but when it comes down to it, you got five guys. When they bring more than five guys, it's no longer the O-line's problem. What we do is have a few golden rules. You block inside out and you don't leave down linemen. You want whoever you end up letting go untouched, hopefully you have a running back keeping in, you're communicating that. The quarterback or the center, we're calling out to a running back, we're calling out to a tight end that they know hey, whatever you're doing right now, you're chipping first or you're bumping this guy. You're giving us a second to get backside because we have more guys than we can block. Now, in a situation that's been happening with the Saints specifically, is we have too many guys coming. They're overloading. We've got six guys staying in, and they're bringing sometimes seven. But we're not having any of those hot routes. We're not having wide receivers break the routes off. We're not having a quick read. When you bring seven guys, someone's open short every single time. That's just, it's numbers, it's math. You can't bring extra guys and keep everybody covered, right? So to your point, it has to come with coaching. This has to be drilled into Jameis Winston's head that if you got more, if the O-line's calling it out, hey, you know, fire, overload, they got more guys on the right side than we have people for. We're not going to be able to swing a backside over there. If they have too many guys, you have to have a contingency plan. It needs to be the ball hits you in the chest and you get rid of it. No more seven-step drops and letting guys come around in the corner. So other than just saying it's bad coaching, what can a team do specifically that can address this issue? Is it a communication issue, do you think? Do you think it's more of a the center maybe making the calls isn't getting communication from the tackles that an extra guy is coming up? Because you know how hard it is to see stuff on the outside when you're down in the trenches.
Yeah. You know, one thing, I mean, that sticks out to me about the whole thing is, you know, they're stacking the box like that. They are doing that for a reason because they know that they could get you on that exact formula. You know what I'm saying? They know that they're getting to you. So one way to keep a defense honest like that is, you know, some screens. I see a lot of guys, you know, start to get complacent when I'm coaching and stuff like that. And, you know, the defense starts to think it's a little predictable or whatever. So we throw a couple of screens in there and boom, they're running upfield for no reason, you know? So, you know, that's one way to keep a defense honest. And I mean, of course you gotta be able to audible those hot routes, you know what I'm saying? And if you can't do that, then I think that's what they're trying to do. That's what they're banking on. They're banking on Jameis Winston having a meltdown because he's got somebody in his face every time. They're banking on that, you know, and
they've been successful with it so far.
Yeah. And it does seem to be a method of success. But you know, short dump plays and stuff like that. You know, those are ways to keep the defense honest when they're doing stuff like that, you know, just rushing like that. Obviously they're thinking that the best player on the field is, Alvin Kamara. You know, and rightfully so.
Yeah, they're right for thinking that way.
Yeah, you know, and they know that they want to stop him. They need to harass that offensive line, and that's what people have been doing to the offensive line. So, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. As soon as the tape was out that we're not picking up those blitzers and blitzing, you know, six guys works, everyone's going to do it until we can prove that it doesn't work anymore.
Right.
You know, we're so used to the Drew Brees type offense where you blitz an extra guy and he would kill you for it every single time to now it's suddenly a huge Achilles heel that they have no fear of Jameis Winston just making that quick read decision. And we can go ad nauseum about, you know, sliding a tackle out, having a running back pick up the inside guy, you know, shifting off a double team to pick up a delayed blitz, all the technical stuff that we could drone on about for an hour. It all comes down to the coaching and communication. If the quarterback doesn't have a place to go with that football, these results aren't going to change.
Absolutely. And you know, that's the same way I feel even about the Chargers too. You know, they're not communicating something right with the line and even amongst their own coaching staff right now. We're playing timid, like scared to play football all three quarters and then slinging it the fourth quarter. What the hell are we doing? You know, so I too am going through the NFL woes of the season, my friend.
Yeah, not the start what neither of us have really envisioned. So no. Speaking of offensive lines that are playing well, let's put a little attention on the Cleveland Browns. I know both of us were watching their Thursday game against the Steelers. Very solid defense. Is it just me, or do the Browns have the best guard duo in the NFL?
Oh my gosh. The way that they were man, I took a couple screenshots of some of those formations. Coaching material. Because they were so nice. And just the way that they were run blocking. When you talk about being a one unit and one line being all one line, creating a wall, that's what they did. Oh my goodness. I swear when they were in the goal to go situation, all the linemen were in the offense, they were in the end zone. You know what I'm saying? And
moving the line of scrimmage, it's beautiful.
Yes, it was nice. And just like to see that work of art that they put out there, known as the Cleveland Browns offensive line, is fun to watch. And that's a reason why you have Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt running and creating the plays for this offense that they do.
Yeah, the proof is in the pudding. They're leading the league in rush attempts, and they're doing it with ease. They're averaging 5 yards a carry and 190 yards rushing per game. That's incredible.
Yeah.
I know it's a slow start for them, not having a starting quarterback and all, but you keep rushing for 190 yards a game, you're going to win a lot of them.
Yeah. I think there's got to be percentages of, I know you see all the time, like when there's 100 yards rushing for this team, they win 9 out of 10 games, you know.
And that's a lot of that is cause and effect. You run the ball more when you're winning already. So some of that is causation and correlation. The Cleveland's running the ball effectively. Chicago Bears are, oddly enough, one of the better running teams in the league. And I don't think their offensive line gets talked about at all.
No, I agree. That offense is it's not a very explosive offense. It's, it's 5 yards in a cloud of dust offense sometimes. And, I bet, all those linemen are having fun, though, being physical like that in the trenches, because, man, they are a physical offensive line. I'm going to bring it up again to the Detroit Lions.
Oh.
Their offensive line.
You mean the team that leads the NFL in yards per attempt? They are at almost 6 yards per carry, 170 yards a game. We've got 5 rushing touchdowns in their first 3 games. Detroit Lions, their offense is putting up points, and they're doing it with their offensive line.
Yeah, my funnest team that it's been to watch this year has actually been the Detroit Lions.
They are fun.
I am a huge
fan of their head coach. He is a pot of coffee kind of wild man. I love me some Dan Campbell.
Yeah, they've been so fun to watch. And just, Penny Sewell over there, he was a tackle that was taken a couple years ago with the Chargers left tackle, Rashawn Slater. So I know they're always going to be compared in their careers. And, hey, he's a physical run-blocking tackle too. So, I could respect it. And like I said, man, just the way this team is playing, how physical they're playing, I have them to kind of be a dark horse this year. Yeah. I really do.
Yeah. I've been telling anyone who will listen that the Detroit Lions, I don't know that they're there yet, but they are absolutely trending in the right direction. That is a team that's on the rise. And even if it's not this year, the Lions are going to be good. They're a team to deal with. So to keep everybody interested a little bit, one of the other teams in the NFL that's been very effective with the rush that may surprise us is our own New Orleans Saints, with 5.5 yards per carry, but only 111 yards per game, because our attempts are abysmal. Only 61 rushing attempts and only 2 rushing attempts in the combined 3 fourth quarters of our first 3 games. Now, 61 attempts is good for 28th in the league. And again, the average may be a little misleading. We did have a couple of really big Taysom Hill runs in week 1 that kind of stretched that out. So the team gives up a lot of sacks, and we're not running the ball very often, but we're effective when we do it. So there's still a lot of questions to be answered about the Saints offensive line. And hopefully we'll find out a bit in London this Sunday against a very good Minnesota front four, and that made me feel sick to my stomach to say that out loud because I hate Minnesota. I hate Minnesota. All my homies hate Minnesota.
You know, a matchup that I'm looking forward to watching too is, you know, you had mentioned the Chiefs being among staff stat leaders in some of the categories you've been talking about. And, you know, the Chiefs versus the Bucks. You know, that front seven of the Bucks and the Chiefs' newly improved offensive line. I'm looking forward to seeing the test and they fare against the Bucks. I think that they still have a more explosive offense than the Bucks. The Bucks have been kind of stagnant, and a lot of that is due to all the injuries we know that they're dealing with on their offensive line. So, you know, just, you know, seeing how the Chiefs fare in this match is kind of interesting to me. I bet it's going to be a good match. And you got the Bucks linebacker talking about how he laughs at the Chiefs' new offensive line too. So, I mean, you're a big guy. You're one of the big uglies up front. That's going to get your blood boiling.
That's some bulletin board right there. I mean, I don't always buy into all the bulletin board rah-rah hype up stuff, but somebody says they're laughing at you. Yeah, you're going to take it a little seriously. Yes. That's a matchup right there of two quarterbacks that do their offensive lines a lot of favors. Tom Brady, elite, getting the ball out of his hand really quickly, doesn't give his offensive line time to get beat. If anybody who watched the Saints-Bucks game knows that, you know, we have all these pass rushers coming off the edge and they just can't get there because the ball's out in 2 seconds. And then you got Patrick Mahomes, one of the elite, elusive quarterbacks who's got the mobility and the arm strength to get out of the pocket, get away from pressure, and still make those throws. So both of these teams are on paper, their offensive line is going to grade out a lot better than they actually are. And those two quarterbacks really protect that stat line. So we talked about some bad lines, talked about some good lines. So another good offensive line matchup that we want to talk about, Philadelphia Eagles, somewhat surprising Philadelphia Eagles, playing the equally surprising Jacksonville Jaguars, both teams better than I think any of us expected, and both of them having a lot of success with their offensive lines. What do you see in that matchup that kind of makes it interesting to you?
Just to see really if the Jags can keep their pace going, you know, just to see, you know, if all those top round prospects they have over there at Lion are paying off to protect their number one overall pick with Trevor Lawrence, you know. So I'm looking forward to just see if the Jags are really turning the corner right here, you know. And
so the Jags turning the corner. We also have the rushing attack for the Eagles being really effective. A lot of that is quarterback runs, but how important is it with for the offensive line play to be able to not only run the ball effectively with your backs, but also for your quarterback?
You know, one of the things that's very important for a lineman when you have a running quarterback, and that's your major game scheme and how you're throwing guys open with that RPO that the Eagles so famously love to use over there, you know, and even after Doug Peterson has left the building, you know, they're still over there using the same philosophy. And, you know, so you got an offensive line that's doing really good at driving their blocks. You know, the way that they, you know, take them out to the perimeter while they're scraping down the line and taking their defender with them is a work of art. You know, just the way that you see the line getting off at the same time, staying square with the line and just going with the flow of the line and allowing Jalen Hurts to, you know, pick defenses apart back there. Really, he's having a really surprising year for me, if I say so myself. You know, this offensive line, like I said, they're going to have their hands full with Josh Allen over there too with the Jaguars. He's a very good pass rusher. We'll see how he can make an impact on this game and test this offensive line. You know, because I can't really, you know, I can't really say any top like pass rushers that they've faced already this year. You know, I think, right. You know, some of the offenses that they've they've faced this year. You know, they haven't had to worry about guys that could really get after the quarterback, you know, and, you know, Jordan Mailata and Lane Johnson, they're going to have their hands full with Josh Allen and Trevon Walker. So we'll see, you know, how that goes.
Yeah, definitely something to watch. All right. I think that's all the time we have for this week, guys. So thank you to my good friend and former teammate and one of the nicest fellows you'll ever meet. Big Nate the Great.
Hey, thanks for having me, Craig.
Yeah, no, that's your show too. And thanks to the whole BS and Beer family for letting us ramble on their channel. Dave, we don't forget about you. We throw you on the end to see if you actually listen to this stuff. That's it for the Big Ugly Podcast. Stay hungry, everybody.
All right, guys.